Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. This particular gospel is halfway in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark. There are 16 chapters, and this is chapter 8. And leading up to chapter 8, Jesus has been healing and teaching and preaching. So I really feel for Peter. Here he sees Jesus performing amazing miracles. In fact, right before this gospel, Jesus heals a blind person. And right after this gospel, Jesus heals a blind person. So choosing as our theme this second week of Lent as new vision is because Jesus is inviting something new, to see differently. But Peter has been seeing all kinds of miracles and hearing all kinds of teaching. In fact, people are saying, wow, he teaches with authority. We've never heard anyone teach like this. So Peter is caught up in the buzz. People are absolutely ecstatic. There's a lot of excitement around Jesus, and that's where Peter is. In fact, because Peter has seen all of the miracles and all the teaching and preaching, because he's one of the followers, Peter has begun to sense and has kept it to himself, aha, that is the Messiah. And so he's holding something in his heart that is the fulfillment of all the people have been waiting for. And so on this particular day, when Jesus turns and says to his followers, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected by all the high-level people in our religion, the scribes, the Pharisees, the entire Sanhedrin. I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again. In that moment, all Peter could hear was the person in front of him is going to be killed. That can't be. He's the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. So what does Peter do? Well, first of all, he might have thought to himself, oh, that Jesus, he's having a bad day. So he might have just put his arm around Jesus because he said he brought him aside. And he says to Jesus, don't go there. No, don't go there. Jesus steps back, turns away from Peter, and in front of all the followers, rebukes Peter and says to Peter, you are caught up with human things. You need to start focusing on divine things. And we all get caught up in human things, being upwardly mobile, successful, secure, wanting our promises to be fulfilled as Peter did. And so Jesus is saying, no, focus a little more beyond where you've been into a more divine way of seeing. And what are the divine ways that Jesus wants us to see? Well, I think all of us could think about it for a moment and say, well, I think a divine thing is to love our neighbors. Check. I think another divine thing, well, to love our enemies. Check, whether we do so or not. Another thing could be, well, to share what we have. And usually that means we share the extras. We often give away what we don't need, instead of giving what we need to someone who needs it more. So Jesus is beginning to want to stretch his followers. They've seen a lot, they've heard a lot, and Jesus is ready to stretch us all. And this is the first of three times that Jesus is warning, it's not going to be easy, folks. It's not going to be easy. And their first reaction is they don't get it. And neither do we. And so, what are the divine things that we're called to look on, and how do we foster being able to see? And I think it comes down to something very basic. For us to be able to see, we need to be rooted in prayer. Down to the basic component of grace, that relationship with God. And we call that prayer, a living grace. And prayer is not a gumball machine. I will pray, clunk, and out comes what I asked for. And I think all of us, at least I used to absolutely do this, if I am clearer with God, a little more descriptive, if I really help God know how I feel about this, this will help God answer, because then God will understand what I really need. The deal is, God knows and loves us more than we know or love ourselves. Absolutely. Samuel Shoemaker was an Episcopal priest that absolutely influenced the spirituality of AA. And this is what he says about prayer. Prayer may not change things for you, but it sure changes you for things. Prayer may not change things for you, but it sure changes you for things. So in this gospel, Jesus is inviting action, is inviting verbs, is inviting transformation, is inviting divine things rather than human things. And then he says something, in fact, if you want to follow me, you need to carry your cross. So if new vision is what Jesus is asking, what's a new way of looking at the cross in relationship to prayer, into the center of who we are? And I would invite that what Jesus is asking, that the cross can also be looking at ourselves in a new way and allowing in prayer an honest, vulnerable openness to loving who we really, really, really are, which includes maybe parts of my past that I don't want to think about anymore that totally affected me, or a broken part of who I am and I compensate, or a part of me that's ashamed, a part I am absolutely not proud of. The invitation in the cross is to bring all of us into God's grace in prayer and give it to God, because in the cross was the transformation of all of us. So can all of us in this Lent begin to be more open and honest and say, yes, it's about time I let go of that part of me and give it to God for healing and wholeness. So this relationship, this new vision includes looking at us, ourselves, so inward and outward. And in the outward, as we learn to self-accept, maybe we also learn to accept others, because we know that person's not perfect either. So compassion becomes a result of our praying. On Friday, there was someone who died, who really prayed in a very human, honest, vulnerable way. And that was Malcolm Boyd. Malcolm Boyd was 91 years old when he died on Friday, an Episcopal priest. He was a civil rights activist, a writer, a poet. He published over 30 books. His books were absolutely influenced by wanting the rights of people to be respected. He became very prominent in the Civil War movement in the 60s and came out as a gay priest. And at that time, it was such an experience for many people that for years he could not find a parish to work in that would accept him. But Malcolm Boyd kept being honest and vulnerable with himself and with God. And in 1965, he wrote the bestseller, Are You Running With Me, Jesus? And this is that poem, Prayer. I think we all can relate to it. It's morning. And here's that light and sound all over again. I've got to move fast. Get into the bathroom. Wash up. Grab a bite to eat. And run some more. I just don't feel like it, Lord. What I really want to do is to get back into bed. Pull up the blankets and sleep. All I seem to want today is the big sleep. And here I've got to run all over again. Where am I running? You know these things. I can't understand. It's not that I need to have you tell me. What counts most is just that somebody knows, and it's you. That helps a lot. So I'll follow along, okay? But lead, Lord. Now I've got to run. Are you running with me, Jesus? And I think you know the answer. Yes. And this running can sometimes blind us to the new vision. All of you, I hope, received as you walked in our Lenten theme card for week two. And on this cover, on this card, is this amazing picture of the light breaking through the darkness. Nancy Backus was in Hawaii and she bought in a gallery a large picture that we reduced to fit onto this card. And she was talking to the photographer, the artist, and she said that the artist sees this picture of light and then darkness and snaps it. And in the developing, brings it up, and the light has shot through the darkness. In a flash, the light had shot through. He saw this, snapped it, and it produced this. And that is the grace of God, able to do in us, in a flash, give us new eyes to see the divine around us. Marian Preminger was a Hungarian who became an actress. She was a very, very wealthy woman, lived in a castle. And as an actress, she met someone named Otto Preminger. And the two of them married. And Otto and she went to Hollywood, and he became an extraordinarily successful Hollywood director. And she absolutely enjoyed the Hollywood life, because he now was a big mover and a shaker, and she was out there and loved the shallow life that her wealth could provide for her. Well, It wasn't the relationship that Otto had originally hoped for, and they divorced. So she took her settlement and moved to Paris and had people waiting on her, and reads in the paper one day that Albert Schweitzer, the missionary from Africa, was coming to town. And Marion Preminger makes an appointment to see Albert Schweitzer. And she listens to what he was doing in Africa, who he was serving, the conditions of the people. And in a flash, something shot through her darkness, and she needed to go to Africa. So she goes with Albert to Africa, and Marion, who had never cooked for herself, washed her clothes, cleaned for herself, began serving in the hospital that Albert had built. And she began cleaning those who were dirty and couldn't do it for themselves, and holding kids who had not been loved, and helping cook. In other words, her life had changed. She had new eyes, and she was serving. When she died, she asked to have on her tombstone what Albert Schweitzer had said to her. There are two kinds of people in the world: the helpers and the non-helpers. And Marion had on her tombstone, "And I'm a helper." That's the power of grace rooted in prayer. It takes prayer to listen to the change, to the movement happening in your heart, to be able to so drastically live a life of luxury for a life of service. And that's what we're called to pay attention to. And you can believe, no matter how fast your day is, how fast your week, how fast your life, that Jesus is running with you and wants you to see. And he is with you to help you become all the person you are meant to be. Amen.